for our worship this morning, and also for our fellowship around the table of the Lord later on, I'd like to invite all of us to look at a very important verse from the book of Revelation in chapter 5. Just that one verse, it is a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will see with our own eyes one day in the new heaven and earth. Let us read this verse together. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Let's read this together, just this one verse again. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Let us pray. Father, before we look at your word and before we listen to your message, we pray, O Lord, that you would prepare our hearts so that whatever you wish to speak to each and every one of us, that we would understand, that we would cherish, and that we would obey. For this we pray in the loving name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Before we look at this verse together as a church, I'm going to invite Greg to come up and share with us some of the things that God has been doing in their team ministry in overseas. And remember, the reason we are doing this is because of the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified among us and also in the whole world.
It's so wonderful to be home for the Chinese New Year. Luna and I, we came back Friday night while still jet lagged. We're glad to be in the Lord's house to worship the Almighty God and to partake in the Lord's Supper together. As Pastor Charles is going to preach on the Lamb of God, I thought it might be appropriate for me to share briefly how we have learned to serve by the Lamb's example and what God is doing in the mission field in China. Prior to Jesus, the Lamb of God was slain, he chose to spend his last night with his disciples. After he washed the feet of all the 12 disciples, Jesus said to them, in John 13:15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Foot washing was a common service in the Middle East because the streets were dirty and people wore sandals, wore socks. It was a mark of honor for a host to provide a servant to wash a guest's feet. Wives often wash their husband's feet, and children wash their parents' feet. Jesus, as the Lord, instead of having his feet washed by his disciples, he took the initiative to wash their feet, one by one, including Judas, who was going to betray him. While Jesus served his people by example, so did you here in this congregation to us. As the first couple commissioned by this congregation almost exactly 7 years ago in this place, we have witnessed continuous and overwhelming support from many of you through your constant prayer, your caring, your love to us. For several years, CCC has sent teens to China to help with the summer camps. These past 7 years, we have experienced God's mercy and presence in China. Our mission work has gone from performing troop evangelism to educating migrant children to youth and family ministries that we are engaged in now. By God's grace, we have learned to serve hundreds of churches in China. And for the last 3 years alone, our ministry has trained more than 2,000 church workers across the country. Just for example, 2 weeks ago, we organized a five-day winter camp in Beijing for 36 teenagers. We have some pictures on the screen. Even though all the youth were from Christian families, many were lost spiritually. Their faith was in name only. We made the theme of the camp, expecting the campers to walk out of the darkness and confusion and into the light. In China, most youth got lost due to lack of role models in their families. During the summer of the year of 2014, we recruited more than 20 college students to help serve more than 140 campers for 4 weeks. We found that youth were better served by example from their peers or someone who is closer to their age. God permitting, we'll continue this model this summer. We'll be organizing mission trips for Christian youth to serve in underdeveloped regions in Western China. And I believe Jesus' model of serving others works in all ministries. According to China, to serve in China 7 years ago was for discipleship. The more we have stayed in the mission field, the more we have realized that the Lamb is our example. We can't do anything if the Lamb is not exalted through the work we do. Not to follow the example of Jesus is to exalt ourselves above him and to live in pride. John 13:16 says, "No servant is greater than his master. Food washing is not a ceremony, but an example of serving through sacrificial love. Meanwhile, communion should not be treated only as a ceremony. It's rather a commitment to love one another to the point of giving our lives for those we serve." I think I'm very glad that Brother Y is here. He is really, to me, a mentor to me and a living example of how to serve his people. Last May, our son Peter and his wife Lynn took their two kids to China for the first time. While there, Caleb, our five-year-old grandson, was excited to meet so many relatives. He was telling everyone, we are related by blood. Caleb then later learned that besides relatives, followers of Christ are related to Jesus by blood, are related by Jesus' blood, which is way more precious in God's eyes. May we all remember we are part of this new family because what the Lamb of God has done for us.
We just want to say thank you to Greg and Luna and also to Brother Wang for serving in the example of the Lord Jesus. It is important for us to remember that as individual believers and also as a church, all that we do, unless we take our example from Jesus Christ, unless we take our cue from him, whatever we have accomplished, it may have very little to do with God at all. And the reason why we want to take our examples from the Lord Jesus is because of what he has done for us on the cross. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. In the new heaven and new earth that you and I are going to be privileged to be visiting and residing in one day, we will find that what John the Apostle saw in his vision in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, is going to be very real and very true. In that verse, and in that particular vision, in the first half of the verse, John said this is what he saw. He saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, that it had been slaughtered. And something special about this sacrificial lamb, that it is standing in the very center of the throne, surrounded by important spiritual beings in heaven, and worshiped by all living breath in the universe. It tells us that this sacrificial lamb is Jesus Christ himself. It reminds us that the person that we are worshiping today, the reason why we are here in the sanctuary of God today is because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is very much alive. It is true that he was crucified. He was humiliated. He was beaten up. He was discarded. He was deserted. And that finally he died on the cross. But it is also very true that he is very much alive today and forever. And he's glorified with all the power and all the authority we can ever imagine. When John the Apostle saw the picture of Jesus Christ, it wasn't one of bloody scenario. It was one of power. It was one of glory. It is something that, you know, you cannot take your eyes off it. It is something that once you have behold the power of the Lord, you would want to learn to love him. You would want to serve by his example. And we know that from the Bible, one reason why Jesus died on the cross is because he wants to bring us the good news of the gospel, the good news of the cross. Paul says that he welcomes the message of the cross. And this is how he put it: "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." It was a very bold statement, bold testimony for Paul to affirm. He said he would never be ashamed of the gospel, of the message of the cross. Why? Because there is the power of God in the message of the cross. He also said somewhere else in the New Testament that, you know, not everyone, having heard the gospel, would welcome the message of the cross. For in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, he says, "For the message or the gospel of the cross is foolishness." It doesn't make any sense. It is nonsense to those who are perishing, to those who are dying spiritually. But to those who are spiritually alive, to those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ and whose hearts are open to the Lord, they are being saved because, again, of the power of God. The word gospel, we all know, means good news. News is a reporting that something important, something significant has happened. And indeed, when Jesus died on the cross, heaven and earth shook and eternity was changed. And good news is the announcement that something has happened that will make humanity happy and joyful forever. The gospel, the Bible tells us, is the best news, the best good news you can ever have, because what it reports can make people happy forever. What the gospel reports is the death and also the resurrection and the coming again of the Lord Jesus one day. So Paul makes it very clear in one of his writings. He makes the news quality of the gospel very plain. What is the gospel to you and me? The gospel is, he put it this way, "I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel, of the good news." And this is the very essence of the gospel: that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and also he was raised again on the third day, and that he, Jesus, appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, and in some version you would find this, more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, at one time, and most of whom are still living when Paul was writing this. The heart of the gospel, as far as the Bible is concerned, is that Jesus died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. Yes, having died, he was buried, but he was also raised by the power of God. And he appeared after his resurrection to more than 500 people. The fact that he says many of these witnesses, Paul says many of these witnesses are still alive, shows that the gospel is factual. He meant that his readers at that time could find some witnesses and you can ask them about it. The gospel is news about facts, not some makeup story. And you can test and prove the facts that they are real. Because when Paul was writing this, there were witnesses of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But the tragic and sad thing is that for many people today, the good news is nonsense, foolishness. Paul says that the message or the gospel of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying spiritually. But to those who are alive, to those who really have encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, they know that it has the power of God to save. This is the power that Jesus died to unleash in new creations. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Why is the death of Christ not seen as good news by some people? And why do some people see it as foolishness? One reason is given in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because the God of this age, Satan, and his allies, they have blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. That shows the glory and the power of the Lord, who is the very image of Christ. It means that before you and I became believers, before we encountered the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as the one who forgives us, none of us was able to perceive who Jesus truly is. It takes the power of God. God has to do something. God has to perform a miracle. God has to cut our hearts open. God has to put some light into our darkened minds. And God has to bring some life, his life, into our spiritually dead bodies so that we can begin to wake up and begin to appreciate that this Jesus truly is the Son of God. And unless God does that to you, unless God does that for me, we are not going to be able to appreciate and to perceive Jesus as Lord and Savior at all. And this is why we encourage people to pray. Before you do anything, especially when you want to bring other people to come to faith, pray so that the Holy Spirit can start working in your heart and the Spirit can also start working in the person for whom you are praying. If anyone is going to receive the gospel, they must overcome this natural darkness and blindness by the power of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, you remember that in the gospel, it is said very clearly that all of a sudden, the whole earth, as if the whole universe became darkened. It was bright daylight, but all of a sudden, a very mysterious darkness surrounded the whole earth. And the gospel writers were trying to show us that, you know, that is how dark, how hopeless, and how desperate we are, because we are sinners under condemnation. And unless God brings his light into the darkness, we would never be able to see the light of the world, that is the Lord Jesus. So when God, by his mercy and compassion, remove our deadness, spiritually dead, and blindness Otherwise, we would not be able to see Jesus as good, as true, and as divine. This would never happen. This could never happen unless God did something. And he did it through the death of the Lord Jesus. So every time when we gather around to remember the Lord Jesus, the table of the Lord, we gather not just to worship, but we also gather to remember the cross. It is more than just another joint service. In communion, believers are coming together to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, to acknowledge that the good news, the gospel, is the best news, to also proclaim that this is what the world needs. This is why every church, in some way, has to be about mission. This is why we need to pray for ourselves so that we can be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus. This is why we need to pray for other people so that we can pray them and love them into the kingdom of God. This morning we come together. We remember the sacrificial lamb that was slain. But mark how John put it. It looks like it has been slain. And truly it has been slain. But John wants us to remember that. Not only has it died once, but it lives forever. So today, when we gather around the table of the Lord Jesus, Jesus wants us to remember that he's alive forever, and he wants to be alive forever, actively so, in this church, in our ministry, in your heart, and in my heart. He wants us to feel something of his power. He wants us to feel something of the power in his good news, and he wants people around us to see something of the power of God working through his people in the body of Christ. Today, as we come before the table of the Lord, it is a very, very good opportunity for each and every one of us, including myself, to think before the Lord and to say, God, how much alive am I? How much alive am I in your eyes? Are there areas in my life that are pretty much dead because I'm holding back from you? Because I do not want to surrender that part of my life to you? Or because I do not yet understand nor experience the power of the Lord Jesus? And this is why communion is so amazing an experience. Jesus says, come to me. Whatever that bothers you, come to me, and I'll release you from that burden, from that bondage. And more than that, I'm going to give you my light. I'm going to give you, share with you my life so that you can continue to experience the power of the sacrificial lamb that was slain, but yet is very much alive. And so that you can continue to praise him and share him with other people. So next time when you pray, in your own prayer time or in small groups, remember the church of the Lord Jesus, including our church, and pray that the body of the Lord would be active in understanding the Lord Jesus, the power of his message, and also in sharing him. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you because we know that the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, who was humiliated and crucified because of our sins, is very much alive today. In fact, more alive than ever. We thank you for the power of God who raised him from the dead. We also thank you for the power of God who one day will bring him back to this world in splendor and in authority. And until we see that very day ourselves, we pray, O Lord, that between now and then, give us always a proper sense of awe, a proper sense of reverential fear, and deep, deep love for who he is. For Lord, he's alive, not just in the world today, but he's alive in our hearts. He's alive in our work. He's alive in our homes. He's alive in his church. Make our church, O Father God, more and more alive because of the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus, whom we remember today In his name we pray. Amen.